Welcome to People Power and Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
Conversation with Idanis Rodriguez, Commissioner of the Department of Transportation, the first Latino and second person of color to hold this position. Welcome to People Power and Politics. I am your host, Pearl Phillip. Welcome, sir. Good to have you here with us today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So, Mr. Rodriguez, I've read your bio and heard you speak at events, and you always bring up your humble beginnings and journey as an immigrant in this country. How have your life experiences shaped who you are now, from being a cab driver, teacher, and city council member to the first Latino and second person of color being the commissioner of the DOT?
First of all, I believe that, as Lin-Manuel say at his play of Hamilton, that immigrants get their job done. This is something that is our reality. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a wealthy family, if it's a working class or middle class. Like, we all have a beginning in history where people struggle. And for me, like, I can say that I'm part of the story of immigrants that not only came here to provide cheap labor, as you say, washing dishes, doing sandwich in the same place, same building, or 55 Water Street, where I'm now leading my agencies of close to 6,000 people, a average of $4 billion budget, running the largest transportation system, you know, in the whole nation. But I got here because I never gave up. I got here because there were other people who believe in me. I got here because, as Toni Morrison said, it takes a whole village to see a child grow. I didn't have to read Toni Morrison to learn that, because in my little town in the Caribbean island of the Dominican Republic that we share with Haiti, my family come from those values. And because of, you know, everyone believe that poverty is not an excuse for us to fail. Social justice are important value for us to continue celebrating what other generation has done, but also learning that we are standing in the shoulders of those men and women. So for me, it was about being lucky and blessed, being surrounded with so many people that they told me an important lesson, which is, let's give value to our life. And the only way how we can do that is by, you know, helping others, like, to have a better opportunity for them to accomplish their dreams. So that's what I had done it since being born and raised in coming to New York City, born and raised in DR, and coming here in 83 at the age of 18. From that moment on, there has not been one fight in the city of New York with any group that I has not been in the front line. So for me, it's more than being a commission. It's what to be part of the movement who believe that we have to build society where working class live with dignity, but with a path to take the children to be middle class.
Excellent. And I've seen your work. So let's get a little personal now. Who is Idanis Rodriguez? What are some of your favorite pastimes? And I'm going to get you in trouble, your favorite foods.
Listen, Idanis Rodriguez is the name of my father. So I think that there's only two Idanis in the whole Dominican community. I don't know how my father got his name, but I'm the proto of that family. When my father had 13 and mom and dad, we are 12. And there were seven women first. And the oldest one was the one who said poverty is not an excuse to fail. And education is the vehicle to progress. So the five youngest one, you know, we were blessed and supported by our oldest seven sisters. So, you know, I'm the product again of my family, my older sister, my father who couldn't read and write, but his value of hardworking individual was something that was important for her and for all of us. And I like to eat rice and eggplant.
You kept it simple. Okay, so you were appointed DOT Commissioner by Mayor Eric Adams on June the 1st, 2022. How has been on the council's transport committee, because you were city council member before, prepared you for this current position, and what challenges have you encountered, and what successes are you most pleased with?
My 12 years as a council member, all of them members of the Committee of Transportation, in the last eight being the chairman of the Transportation Committee, where I passed more than 35 laws, including Vision Zero. We also passed a bill that will allow immigrants to, with the green cards and working papers, to vote in municipal election, something that is still pending because there have been a lawsuit. I also passed a bill that created the EGNI and community media, the first city in the whole nation that has established a law that now dictates that 30% of the advertising that the city spend every year must be going to the EGNI and community media. So as Mayor Eric Adams said, who was a co-sponsor with me with that bill, he said, you don't have to be a English-speaking individual, but you pay taxes. And if you pay taxes, you have the right to be informed of all the services that the city has. So I pass that law. You know, I feel that beside being a council member, my 15 years as a former teacher that I was before being elected, and co-founder of two schools. I was a co-founder of the first school that we created on the Chancellor Fernandez to work with new coming students from Latin America. But most important, those jobs that I did, washing dishes, driving a livery taxi, working in a factory, and even back in my beautiful island of the Caribbean, where I work in the farms, you know, I was paid $1, you know, a week to work in the same place that is near our houses. So I'm the story of any immigrant. So I told the leadership in my agency, I'm not a story of most of my great leadership that I have at DOT. I'm the story of the great-grandfather. You know, I'm the story of an Irish, a Italians, a Jewish, a Black, a Latino who has been discriminated. And I feel that for me, that's the most important, you know, resources that I have in my hand in order to understand that behind Idanis Rodriguez, there's millions of Black and Asian and Latino and white poor kids that they need to have role model. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's more than running the largest transportation system in the whole nation, the ferry, the bike lane, the buses, the sidewalk, the pedestrian plaza, the open restaurant, the open street. For me, it's about knowing that if I'm a commissioner today, my niece and nephew, all my former students, all those kids that we have in the city of New York, they should be aiming not just to be commissioner of New York City, but to be secretary of transportation nationwide, to be president. And for me, those are the values that I see that give me the strength and the knowledge to know how to navigate the system, to know that equity is more than one word. Equity must be a policy that, in this case, led by Mayor Adam and I, we are using to be sure that the resources that we spend in the city of New York to improve transportation are invested in the working class community at the same level as we invested in the middle class and upper class.
Okay. So I attended a press conference in Washington Heights, and I know that you're passionate, and you're very passionate even now, about making streets safer and more accessible for transit riders, pedestrians, and cyclists to get around, particularly in communities of color that the DOT has historically overlooked. So can you discuss your projects?
Yeah. One of the laws that I was a co-prime, created the New York City Street Master Plan. And now as a commissioner, it's my responsibility to execute the law. The Street Master Plan say, we had to focus on investing resources to improve transportation in New York City, not based on the community that had the most resources, not based on the community that had a lot of voices, but based on the need of the community. So what we are saying is, as we're building pedestrian plaza, as we do more bus lane, more bike lane, as we invest to create more pedestrian island, as we invest to be sure that we redesign our intersection, we need to be sure that those resources are spread equally across the five boroughs. So I feel that I had the understanding, I work with that bill, I had the knowledge. But most important, it's like I'm 57 years old, and I have spent more than 45 years organizing around social justice. Organizing not with the privilege, or yes, being organized in the community, having all the resources. I'm the first, not yes, the first Latino commissioner, and one of the two persons of color, and the other commissioner, Afro-American, that we have at DOT, only stayed there for a few months. But I'm the first non-native English-speaking commissioner. I'm the first working-class commissioner. I'm the first commissioner that I still live in the underserved community. So I don't have to get anyone to be preaching me on things that I should do. I've been living the reality of being a place where we have not been the focus of the attention, been living under the shadow, no one giving the same respect to our people. And for me, it's about life is too short. And the only value that we have in life is the impact that we can get in our society. And I'm here to use my time as a commissioner or as any level that I can have and that I can do. In my 15 years as a teacher, I can tell you many of my former students. One of them, Jocarina Duarte, my former student, she is the chief of staff of the Commissioner of Office of Emergency Management. I have many of my former students who are police officers, who are nurses, who are working in the business community, who are, you know, like business entrepreneur. So I feel that, you know, like, we have to understand that, especially those of us that Bob Marley say that we come through from through the Caribbean, or we come through American, that there's a motherland that is Africa that unifies all of us. For me, it was an honor to lead the Latino campaign for Eric, because for me, it is important to build a bridge between Black and Latino, and especially among Caribbean, the English and the Spanish Caribbean. This should be only one agenda. So I take all those value as I work on my team at DOT to look on the policy that we had to put in place to improve transportation in the city. But also, you know, I feel that what I have done in my years in the city is that I have been involved with all the fight. You know, I was part of the movement for the freedom of Nelson Mandela. I was part of the movement for justice for Rigoberta Menchú. I've been fighting against any invasion that we have had in the last couple of decades that we believe that we should not get involved in those wars. So, and I've been, you know, working around education. 1989, I was on a student who co-lead the movement that we took over CUNY, persuading Mario Cuomo not to increase tuition and to cut the budget. And it was at that time when I met Eric, when he was a transit police. So there's so many decades in history. Back working the good fight, giving the good fight and getting results. So now on transportation, as someone that my background was education, from a student organizer to a teacher, I had learned that education touched the life of every individual.
Now, talking about education, we know that New York City has the most segregated school system in the country, and you spoke about, you know, being a teacher, and you also co-founded two schools, and one was to support newly arrived immigrants from Latin America. Now they've been bringing in teachers from the Dominican Republic, so you were ahead of, you know, the time. So what changes have you seen then and now, and do you have any recommendations for your friend Chancellor Banks?
Well, I have a lot of respect to Chancellor Banks, you know, a leader of the Eagle Academy, someone that has shown results. I feel that we should be expected to get important outcome under his leadership. I know that he understands challenges that we have in our New York City public school teacher, and he started from the pipeline that we create. There's a different outcome that we expect will happen when a child is born in a school that has all those resources, not only inside the school facility, but outside the school facility, and another child who lives in the underserved community, regardless of the color of the skin. So I feel that when we have a school system that we spend $33 billion to educate 1.1 million students, and we had 38% Latinos, 37% Afro-American, making the large majority. And still we have these chancellors inherit a lot of challenges because the curriculum doesn't reflect the history of most of those students that they attend in the school. Most of the publishing are not including Black or Latino or Asian author according to the percentage of the student. And we have what I believe these chancellors inherit a reality, which is we have public school for the rich and public school for the poor. And I feel that we need to be sure that the quality education are provided equally to all the students, regardless of the zip code, the color of the skin, or the income of their family. And this is the type of thing that I feel down that this chancellor, we will see some changes. And I hope, again, that all New Yorkers, regardless of the socioeconomic and ethnic background, you know, join his leadership. You know, when we invest in a working class kid, it's like the investment that they did it with me. Because of those investments, I moved from being a immigrant that just came here to do the hard work, to be the student organizer, to be a teacher, to be a council member, now to be a commissioner. Mm-hmm. Now I pay more taxes. Now I contribute more to the society. Now I'm able to have more resources to raise my two daughters. And the same accomplishment that I've been able to get is the standard that I use for any children that we have in the city of New York, regardless of the color of the skin, the social and economic background.
Okay. So as we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month, Latino and Hispanic individuals have been lauded across different areas. Yet we see how immigrants have been demonized, first with the Trump administration, and now with Republican governors. How does that make you feel?
Listen, there's a battle in this city, in the nation. It's a battle between the conservative individuals that want to push this nation backwards to centuries ago, and the other who believe that there's a Statue of Liberty there that is saying, we welcome you guys. And as the Statue of Liberty welcomed only Europeans, there were 7,000 Dominicans that came through Ellis Island in 1887. They were the first free Black men from the island of Hispaniola at that time between Haiti and DR. Juan Rodriguez, that was brought by the Dutch in 1613. And he refused to continue going to Europe. And there's a copy of those original documents where the merchants, they were disputing the control of Juan Rodriguez. So he became the first non-Native American who settled in New York City. And that person was a free Black man from the island of La Hispaniola. So I feel that it's about telling the story. It's about empowering our youngest New Yorkers, recent immigrants or immigrants that came here decades ago. We are not China. In China, a Chinese, they can tell you about the history of about 5,000 years. Ming, Han, Ho, Tang Dynasty. Someone from India, they can tell you about the story of 1,000 a year. Those of us that come from different places, we only have a few centuries building this nation. And when this nation got the independence, only white men who own land had all the power running this nation. They're the only one that had the right to vote. It was in 1919 that women had the right to vote. It was in the 1960 nationwide that we ended segregation. So we cannot change a society because we changed the law. We change society when we change the culture. So I feel that, especially at this time with this mayor, Eric Adams, who is building a bridges between Black, white, Asian, Latino, working, middle, upper class, I see the hope. I see the mountain that Martin Luther King said that we should go there. But this will require all New Yorkers to understand that you don't have to make big changes. Only by changing yourself, only by believing that you should have the same opportunity that any other individual have. Only knowing that you are no better than anybody else, but no one is better than you. Only when we advocate that what we teach in our classroom reflect the story, the history of our students, that's when I would say that we will be able to continue moving the city. Changes take longer than what we thought when we were high school or college students. So sometimes I know that we don't see the society moving. But at the end of the day, when we look on where we are and where we were like 40, 50 years ago, regardless of the country that our family come from, I feel that we're going through good changes, but we cannot be, you know, comfortable with what we have. We have to continue pushing our big wall to be sure that in the other side of the wall, there's all those opportunities for all individuals to excel and fulfill their dreams. I'm happy to be a commissioner, and I'm going to be just working around the leadership.
We're very happy to have you as the commissioner, Mr. Rodriguez. We know you there for 8 years. We're very happy to have you. I was just trying to, you know, get you to think beyond the 8 years, but we're very happy to have you. You're doing an excellent job. I've seen you doing stuff that has never been done before. You know, I've been at the events. I've heard you speak, so we love having you as the commissioner. Congratulations. Keep up the good work. And we look forward to having you back again. And we support you in the work that you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And for me to be with you, that's what makes my day. And that's what, you know, give the value of my life. Knowing that our brothers and sisters from the Caribbean, that sometimes we've been divided because of the geography on the locality where we live, when we share that region. Because the English or the Spanish, you know, background, at the end of the day, to be here knowing that what I do at DOT is not different from the work that you do behind the microphone, you know, informing, giving entertainment, cultural, education to our community is what we also have to celebrate every day. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
People Power and Politics, Hard Talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.